Next speaker, Hunter Frame, Virginia Tech, will visit with us about sulfur management on coastal plain soils.
All right. Thank you, Bill. So when I started at Virginia Tech, my program was more of a nitrogen-based research program looking at nitrogen-responsive cotton in the coastal plain. And as I got into my work, I started working with some coated urea products, looking at potassium sulfate-coated urea, trying to supplement potassium to mitigate potassium deficiencies we were seeing later in the bloom period. And as I got in, I started looking at what other nutrients are we deficient. This is a picture of two trials side by side in the same field. You can see the foreground trial. We had 41 pounds of sulfur applied to balance out some of the materials we were using. And then in the background, you see the light yellow cotton. This cotton only had 5 pounds of sulfur applied, basically the same N rate, average N rate across both trials, same P rate and same K rate across both trials. So I just wanted to go into some soil fertility, I guess just background soil fertility. We follow Liebig's law of the minimum. That means the minimum nutrient is going to hold back crop yield, and we have here, we're talking about sulfur, so if you think of that as a barrel filled with water, the rung of the barrel, the lowest rung, is going to limit yield. And typically, that's water in our system, like Guy was talking about earlier, in terms of what's the most limited nutrient. But we're going to be talking about sulfur as that limited nutrient in the coastal plain systems. So sulfur is essential in building amino acids, and proteins in plants. It also can affect fiber quality and lint yield. Nitrogen and sulfur go hand in hand in the coastal plains. We have low CEC soils, low organic matters, and crops who typically have high N demand will also have high sulfur demand, even though sulfur is considered a minor nutrient or secondary nutrient, whereas nitrogen is considered a major nutrient. Typically, sulfur has been supplied adequately through deposition from acid rain in the future. In the past, and then since we've had the Clean Air Act, the air has been cleaned up, we've had less sulfur deposition. Or if you have high organic matter soils like was found in maybe the Blacklands in North Carolina, you inherently have higher sulfur content in that organic matter. Producers need to fertilize. This is one of the things I have conversations about with growers all the time. What source of sulfur do I use? Can I use the elemental sulfur, which is a 90% S material? You can, but you also need to recognize, producer needs to recognize that that takes time to be microbially degraded and to become converted to sulfate, which is plant available. So you want to use a sulfate source of sulfur. Now, the flip side of that is not all sulfate sources sulfur are plant available. So you have something like gypsum or calcium sulfate has a much lower solubility than something like ammonium sulfate, which has a high solubility, which is going to dissolve and go into soil solution pretty rapidly. So you want to make sure it's a sulfate form and that the dissolution or the solubility of the material is adequate enough to supply that crop with that sulfur. Typically across the cotton belt, especially in the southeastern U.S., 10 to 20 pounds of S per acre is what's recommended. In Virginia, we have a 20-pound recommendation unless you're following peanuts, and then that dropped back to 10 pounds of S per acre. And this is why we are applying more and more sulfur in the coastal plain, not just on cotton, but on corn and wheat. This is a map of the U.S. This is sulfate, wet sulfate deposition from the atmosphere. The left graph is in 1989. As you can see, we were getting up to over 32 kilograms per hectare on our soils of sulfate deposition across the eastern part of the U.S. Because of the Clean Air Act, the calcium scrubbers put in on these coal-burning power plants, you can look at 2014, the survey that was done, we're not getting the sulfur in our coastal plain soils. We're not getting that deposition. And so we're seeing more and more sulfur deficiencies in cotton, corn, and wheat across the coastal plains soil types. And this is going back to that same field, why I'm interested in sulfur. The yields from this field, we had almost 1,900 pounds of lint on dry land cotton with the 41 pounds of sulfur applied in the foreground. That was reduced to 1,500 pounds of lint in the background of that picture on that yellow cotton. Now, in any dry land situation, these are great yields, but we gave up 300 pounds of lint to the acre by sulfur fertility in this study. So this got me more and more interested on how we need to manipulate sulfur recommendations for Virginia. So one to manage sulfur, one aspect is the soil samples. Some labs in the southeast are offering sulfur analysis on your soil sampling. However, coastal plain soils with low organic matter, low CECs, and sulfate being able to be leached, the reliability of measuring sulfur in soil samples is variable, and we'll get into that a little bit later. So you need to know your profile. If you have a clay layer, you might have some subsoil sulfur built up in that clay layer in the B horizon. However, if it's a deep sand, that sulfate is probably leached out of the profile. And we also, because of the leaching effect, we want to manage sulfur in cotton, corn, or wheat systems in a similar fashion we manage nitrogen. So we want a little bit applied at planting and then come back and put the rest out with our side dress nitrogen. We found that tissue or petiole testing is a little bit more reliable tool for gaining information about plant status of sulfur. Typically, I like to see our guys pull petiole or leaf samples during the first week of bloom from that fourth fully unfurled leaf down the main stem. Sampling early helps you correct any problems that you see in terms of tissue concentrations of sulfur or nitrogen or any other plant nutrient for that matter during the growing season. One tool that I haven't heard talked about much in cotton that's used in wheat and corn is a nitrogen sulfur ratio in the plant. And for wheat, we use it. It's about a 10 to 1, so 10 parts of nitrogen to 1 part of sulfur in the tissue levels that we look at for corn and wheat. And if we get that out of whack, if that ratio jumps up into the 20s, you're probably going to start to see sulfur deficiency. So that's another tool that I was interested in looking at, is that nitrogen to sulfur ratio in cotton, to see if we can identify a ratio to where we may be stimulating sulfur deficiencies with higher nitrogen rates that we see being applied to cotton systems. And then also, just going back to that first week of bloom, petiole sulfur concentrations seem to be more responsive than leaf tissue concentrations in our studies, and we'll get a little bit of that down the road. Now, this picture I have, this isn't cotton, this is wheat. This was actually my first call as an extension agronomist. They knew I worked with wheat in previous graduate career. And what this was, the grower called me out there. He had strip-tilled corn and then planted wheat behind the corn. And what was happening here is the wheat roots, where he had ripped underneath the row, were scavenging sulfur from the subsoil, and in between the rows did not allow us to didn't allow the wheat to gain that access to that sulfur, so we were seeing sulfur deficiencies. Now, the catch to this was the year before he'd used 24003S UAN solutions to side dress his wheat. The farmer said, well, I didn't see any benefit of putting that sulfur out, so he switched to all 30% solution, nitrogen solutions, and this showed up in his field. So we had to go back and he broadcast some ammonium sulfate, about 100 pounds to the acre, to try to correct this deficiency. So from 2012 to 2015, I've been working with, like I mentioned, potassium sulfate-coated urea. From 2012 and 2013, we put out a maximum with this product with 5 pounds of sulfur. 2014-2015, we upgraded the formulation with the company, and we were putting out as much as 12 pounds of sulfur per acre on cotton with our side dress nitrogen. We compared all the coated products to granular potassium sulfate as well as ammonium sulfate in 2015. And all the sulfur went out on these studies at match his square with the side dress nitrogen. No sulfur was applied at planting. In 2015, because of the sulfur response we saw from these coated urea trials in 2014, I decided to initiate a couple more studies looking at sulfur rate response with 3 common and high yielding varieties in 2014. So what we were going to do is look at petiole and tissue sulfur concentrations and lint yield during the studies. So the 3 varieties chosen were Phytogen 333, Phytogen 499, and Stoneville 4946. And the sulfur rates range from 0 to 40 pounds in 10-pound increments. And we took petiole and leaf samples during the first week of bloom. And again, all the sulfur was put out at match head square in our studies. I will give a little background. At location 2, the farmer had some sulfur in his starter fertilizer we weren't aware of. It was 1 to 2 pounds that he put out in a 2x2 band. And we'll be able to see that. We actually picked it up in our petiole testing later on in the season. at the zero sulfur levels. So soil sampling, spatial variability. So here's the problem we run into when we try to use soil sampling to predict sulfur response in the coastal plain. This is actually overlap of our plot map and then soil sulfur levels in the field, overlaid on the field. And as you can see, in this first rep, we had a soils test 50 pounds of S per acre, and one plot, the plot right next to it, it was 3. So that high spatial variability between the fields, it is very, you have a lot of uncertainty on what your actual sulfur levels are in that field because of low organic matter, low CECs, it just don't hold sulfur. So you hit pockets where there may be some higher organic matter, some micro pockets in the field, and then right next to it, you can see sulfur deficiency. So we don't really typically recommend soil testing for sulfur in the coastal plain. So what does petiole sulfur concentration do in the plant during bloom? We really haven't found a set trend like nitrogen. Nitrogen starts off very high and then crashes or decreases through the bloom period. Our sulfur concentrations have been all over the place. Mainly, I would say they hold pretty constant through the bloom period for us. We did see at one location a slight decrease and then constant. We've seen them increase a little bit in the bottom left graph, but I would say they hold pretty steady throughout the bloom period, which is could be good or bad depending on what we're trying to look at. But for sulfur for our guys, that first week of bloom is critical to see to getting that sulfur status so we can correct that during the later weeks of bloom. So here's look both locations in 2015 looking at sulfur application rate in the three varieties. We had no interaction between sulfur application rate and variety in either study. As you can see, it increases in the concentration of petiole sulfur at the first week of bloom increases at each location regardless of variety, with the 40 pounds of sulfur per acre being having the highest petiole sulfur concentrations in each study. Again, I mentioned that 1 to 2 pounds of sulfur applied at planting at location 2. Location 1, we see the zero rate of sulfur being around 500 ppm, whereas the zero rate of sulfur at that location 2 was double that, up around 1,000. And when I saw that, I actually called the grower and asked him, because I knew he had given us a starter, if he had any sulfur in that solution. And he said, yeah, actually, they had about 1 to 2 pounds. So we actually picked that up just by looking at the petioles. And this is just the average in the varieties looking at the response. It's a linear response at both sites, highly correlated. We have R-square values 0.94. So sulfur, petiole sulfur during the first week of bloom was highly correlated to rate. So what does leaf sulfur look like? Leaf sulfur, again, is pretty highly correlated. It drops some, 0.78, 0.86 for the R-squared values. A little bit more variant at location 1. Location 2 is a little bit tighter correlation. But this just shows that there is a drop-off in the how tightly correlated between leaf sulfur and petiole sulfur. And it looks like petiole sulfur from our initial studies may be a better indicator, or a little bit better indicator for cotton than leaf sulfur. So then I want to look at, okay, so if petiole sulfur is going to be a better indicator, let's look at petiole nitrate ratio versus petiole sulfur ratios. And what we see is at the location 1, for the zero sulfur rate, we had that petiole nitrate to petiole sulfur. The ratio was about 20 to 25 to 1 nitrate to sulfur. And then that decreased dramatically once we added 10 pounds of sulfur. We were down around that 5 parts per million nitrate to 1 parts per million sulfur. At location 2, we didn't see this drastic decrease, but we did see an interaction between variety and the petiole nitrate to petiole sulfur concentrations. And the reason at that zero I don't think we had the high petiole nitrate ratio to sulfur was because of that early application of sulfur to the cotton. I think that decreased that ratio because we actually had a little bit of sulfur from the starter fertilizer there. But we did see, it seemed like that phytogen 333 had a lower petiole ratio, petiole nitrate to sulfur ratio in the petioles at this study throughout, especially at the zero rate, and then it kind of held steady across the different sulfur rates. So there might be some differences in how different varieties metabolize or utilize sulfur for us. This is Lent yield. We didn't see a Lent yield response to rate. At location two, we did see a variety response. Phytogen 333 was the highest yielding, but it was significantly different than Stonebull 4946. Phytogen 499 was significantly higher than Phytogen 4946 when we average across all of the sulfur rates. Location one, there's some indication that maybe there was going to be a yield response. However, weather played a big part in our harvest season, and I think introduced variation, which masked some of the sulfur response that we might have seen with a better weather conditions during 2015. This is going back to 2014 while we initiated these sulfur studies. This is looking at the coated materials, and by adding 12 pounds of sulfur in 2014, we were able to increase yields on average about 90 pounds to the acre just by adding 12 pounds of sulfur with urea at side dress across all locations. One location, it was significant at the 0.1 level, but 90 pounds is a pretty significant number for growers just by adding a small amount of sulfur, and this is one of the reasons why we decided to initiate the sulfur studies. 2015, we did not see any yield response to the extra 12 pounds of sulfur in the same study, same treatments. We did add ammonium sulfate alone and potash, MOP, muriate of potash alone, to the treatment list in order to tease out whether that was a potassium response from the potassium sulfate or a sulfur response. So to conclude, weather played a big part in detecting yield differences in our studies. However, petiole and leaf concentrations were highly correlated to sulfur rate, which may indicate some luxury consumption of sulfur by cotton. But we definitely need more data on sulfur use and sulfur response in the coastal plain under better weather conditions moving forward. And just when you identify sulfur deficiency, this is just a key slide. Sulfur is going to occur, yellowing and chlorotic is going to occur in the upper part of the canopy. Typically, with nitrogen, is going to be a yellowing of the lower part of the canopy in cotton. And this is just some sampling protocols. We're going to take 25 to 30 leaves in a good area and a deficient area when diagnosing any nutrient deficiency. Place them in a paper bag. You'd be surprised how many people put them in plastic bags, which by the time they get to the lab, they're deteriorated. And then a fourth leaf down the main stem is the leaf we sample for nutrient deficiencies in cotton. And with that, I'll take any questions. That product is not being really marketed in our area. I've worked doing some work with them, some laboratory work with Amidis, but it hasn't really been marketed in our area very, very much. So. Yeah, and that's an issue. We have some guys that want to pull them earlier. We just haven't collected a lot of data earlier than first bloom from that. But that's one of the things we're probably going to be looking at in the future for nitrogen and sulfur. We do have access in our area to some high clearance spreader buggies for doing ammonium sulfate application granular over the top.
All right, but we're out of time. Thanks, Mary.